This episode of Josiah's Voice Podcast is brought to you by Newsly. Newsly is an audio app for iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics on the web at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural, smooth human voice. It won't be my voice, but no app is perfect, but this one's pretty close. Because for the first time in the history of the internet, the entire web becomes listenable. Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. You can follow any topic as specific as you like, from sports, science, to Bitcoin, or pop culture and movies. It will find you the latest articles and read them to you aloud. And they have podcasts as well, exploring trending podcasts from over 50 countries. Like this one. Download and use Newsly for free now from www.newsly.me. That's www.newsly.me. Or from the link in the description and use promo code J0S1AHV01CE. Josiah's Voice, get it? Again, that's J0S1AHV01CE. I'll put that in the description for you. When you click it, you'll receive a 1 month free premium subscription to Newsly. Stop scrolling, start listening with Newsly. What's up, guys? I want to say thank you, as always, for listening, and also take this time to announce that after this current season, Season 4, the Travel Series, Josiah's Voice resumes its regularly scheduled programming. We're going back to the movies, y'all. So Season 5 will be short and sweet, beginning in October with weekly episodes. I'll be talking with filmmakers from Baltimore to LA about movie magic, as well as catching you up on what I've been up to creatively. Finally, the plan for Season 6 is to begin in November with new episodes every other week. Going forward, the show will be celebrating and focusing on Black filmmaking as I continue to chronicle my career and those of filmmakers I think you should know about from the States and abroad. Stay tuned. All of this and more is coming soon. Thanks for listening, guys. Hello, you're listening to Josiah's Voice. I'm your host, Josiah Bradley. In this conversational podcast, I invite you on my journey through TV, film, and writing. Plus, fellow artists visit with me to share their own unique creative voices along the way. Tune in and get inspired. Hey, everybody, this is Josiah. Welcome back to another episode of Josiah's Voice, the podcast. I'm really excited to get into today's interview. Shout out to my dad for being the bridge, linking us up here. I'm really excited to talk to a fellow expat from the States, a young man who's doing some amazingly creative things out here in Africa. I'll let him tell you specifically where he is, but on YouTube, which you guys should subscribe to. You'll find that in the show notes, in the episode description. He goes by Mark Meets Africa, and I just want to welcome him here. Mark, welcome to Josiah's Voice.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mark, could you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, like where you're from and what you do, and where are you in Africa now?
Okay. My name is Mark. I'm from Las Vegas. I came here when I was 19. Now I'm 21. I'm in Tanzania, specifically Dar es Salaam, but I travel around a bit. And I plan on traveling around a little bit more as the projects here come to a close. So
that's awesome, man. And so at the time of recording this episode, I and my family have lived in Kigali, Rwanda for 4 months now. And part of the research of traveling abroad, Mark Meets Africa. Somehow, Mark's channel in our research, you know, blogs and in forums, and then of course YouTube. So grateful for people who record their experience. That's how I became aware of Mark and some of what he's doing. You're a businessman. You do a lot of things. You're creative and you're a businessman. Are you able to speak to some of how you got started in that
in the States, and then what inspired you to come to Dar es Salaam, come to Africa?
Business. I've always liked business. I like what it can do for people, and I like the freedom of making decisions. In terms of jobs, there's nothing wrong with working, but it just does something. It depends on if you enjoy what you do. I want to say I've always done business, but of course that's not completely accurate. In regards to official business, I think I started when I was 18, because that's legally when you can start. I'd say before that, but really, you know, I've always really started done things in business. I had a little landscaping company in the States.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. Nothing crazy. It really wasn't. It was just as, I don't know. It started off as me going around picking weeds, and it grew a little. And then one day I decided, and this is going to sound odd, but one day I decided to, and a marketing firm, a little bit of marketing.
A marketing firm. Okay.
And then one day I just decided to go to Africa. It just, you know, felt something that said, hey, you should head on over. It said, go to Africa. And I looked at Ghana, and then Ghana was a no. And then I looked at the Gambia. I really wanted to go to the Gambia.
Okay.
And then they actually ended up closing their borders the day I was going to buy the ticket. I
said, no way.
I want to go now. Yeah. Odd. Very odd. Wow. Something said, look to the east. I looked to the east, and where did I see? I saw Kenya. And then I looked at Kenya, and I said, oh, that looks like it looks a little too developed. So I looked down, and there was Tanzania, and I've been here literally ever since.
Have you always had that sort of entrepreneurial spirit? And a follow-up to that, with that, was it that you were looking for a place that you thought maybe needed a little more of that spirit, since you said Kenya seemed a little bit more developed?
Part of me knew I would go to Africa and want to do business, but a big part of me was the people. I said, if I go somewhere westernized or a little more developed, then I know I'm going to run into the situation where I come across people who are also what we would say a bit more developed, but realistically just westernized, because westernization and development are two different things. And yet in this modern world, we combine them.
I feel you. Okay.
So I said, no, I want to go somewhere where the people are people. And it's not to say I had a bad experience in America with people, because I didn't. I actually didn't have any issues with people before leaving in terms of, you know, social constructs and treatment by others. I just kind of do what I do here and do what I do there. You're supposed to be happy anywhere, really. So I don't know. I just wanted to be around a less, as harsh as it sounds, developed place. And really, that's not what I saw. I saw a more developed emotional state of people. So that was something. Yeah.
That's awesome. Can you say a little bit more about that? I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say in the West, there's this construct where, and this works in a positive and negative way here. In business, it's negative because people use their emotions when making decisions. As a businessman, I can't do that. In fact, the other day, I just had a situation where you know, somebody was trying to use their emotions in a business deal. He said, oh, I'm going to be sad if you make me pay for this. I'm like, that's business, man. That's a contract. And he kind of had to realize that. So in regards to government and policies and things like that, they use their emotions a lot. It's not always the best decision for the people or for the companies or for the, I'll just leave it at that. And you see it reflect on the people. And it's always, there's always an issue with that. But in regards to interacting with one another, the way society runs on a person-to-person basis, it's great. You know, sister, brother, auntie, uncle, that stuff makes it a positive. But again, in business and work and all these other constructs that would need professionality, it's not always a positive thing. You know, and we need to realize that not everything in Africa is a positive thing. We're coming back not because we think it's a perfect place, but because we want to see it as a perfect place, right? We have to acknowledge the fact that there are issues here. But the unfortunate thing is now you see a trend of people coming and they're kind of sort of denouncing the issues. And that's not how things change. That's how things stay the same or get worse. Because you can't just come over here and be okay with some of the things like the lack of morality in certain situations. The, I can go on. And that's not to say I dislike the place because of that, but it's to say those are some of the things that have to change if this place is to develop further. And again, development is subjective to what you believe development is. I believe development is peace with one another, right?
Yeah.
And acceptance and understanding of people from all around, right? Yeah. An understanding of our history. A lot of people don't know their history, both in the States and in Africa. And if I'm sorry to ramble on a bit, but I've also come into the recent belief, or at least more strictly into this belief, that Africa is where the people are. You know, Mark Meets Africa is not Mark Meets Continental Africa. It's Mark Meets the people of Africa, whether they're in Brazil, Mexico, even China. We are everywhere. We shouldn't have to come to Africa to be at home. Home is where you feel most welcome, and home is where you're most comfortable. Home is where you're happiest. So a lot of people did come to Tanzania, and they actually left. They had horrible experiences because of corruption, or because of being scammed, or being taken advantage of, or the greedy mentality that, you know, is the unfortunate downside to a lot of African countries, or the not so great customer service when dealing with things, the horrible business practices, the list goes on. And it's not to say, again, that those things are deal breakers, but it is to say that if you want to come over here, you should be willing to stand up to that and make steps to change it. You can't be comfortable like that. A lot of people come, they're not comfortable, they leave.
And I like how you're saying, like, modernization and development are different, because we also use the term development when we think about people. I don't know if you discussed this with my dad. He's big into personal development. He's a certified coach. And so when you're talking about like modernization versus development, you're attributing a lot of, maybe not all, but a lot of development to interpersonal connection. That resonates with me, because we're all, I think, trying, or should be trying day by day to get better, to exercise more patience, respect, love, et cetera. And there's something of a, I don't know, bear with me, but you know, I enjoy sci-fi, and you kind of get excited when you think about scientific updates. The way you're talking, it kind of gets me excited in a interpersonal update kind of way, a kind of a hope of that in ways great or small, I can become better, whether I'm in the States, whether I'm in another country in the West, or whether I'm here in Africa, little by little, I can get better. That's kind of what I'm hearing from you, and how you need to, when you come to Africa, you're going to face some similar challenges, actually. Like there can be bad customer service in the States. You and I know that. Or there might be some things in the school system or whatever that they could be ironed out if we treated each other better, if we listened to each other and things like that. So now I'm rambling, but it's just, you kind of got me, you know, just excited. I didn't know you were going to take it that way, but it's familiar, because I'm familiar with your work and what you do. So I appreciate you taking it that way. Did you travel a lot growing up? And then we'll come back to Dar es Salaam.
No, I think of outside of the country. No, even inside of the country. No, I didn't.
Yeah. No
I think
road
Tanzania
trips.
The first place I went to outside of the country.
Is there anything you can speak to regarding your headspace when you left? Like, what gave you the courage to leave? And if y'all didn't pick up on it, this young man left by himself. I've not even been anywhere by myself yet, Mark.
That's a hard one, because when I get asked this question, to me, it's as simple as it was like moving houses or cities. And that sounds really, really simple, but that's how it felt. Because in my mind, my resolve was, I'm going to be in a new place. There's people there, just like there's people here. There's food there, just like there's food here. It might be different, but I say at the end of the day, people are the same wherever you go. It's just how much of something do they do? And so I had that mentality. And I remember I watched maybe one video on Tanzania, and I Googled a picture of the city. And I said, that's where I'm going. I feel like I know what's there. Of course, not specifically, but a general idea based on the buildings and things like that. And I don't know. It really didn't feel like a big move. I also thought I was visiting. Part of me thought I was visiting. Part of me thought I was staying. I ended up staying. So, yeah, I was kind of like in both modes.
When did you know you were going to stay? Like, how much time had passed when you were initially visiting?
Probably the first day and a half, something like that.
That's crazy. Wait, did I hear you say that? You said that on a past video, haven't you? That sounds a little familiar.
The beginning of the second day.
Wow. So that is a little familiar. I just hadn't heard you say it in a while. And it still kind of blows my mind. How did that feel when you were like, nah, I think I'm home, or I'm comfortable. How did that feel to you?
I don't know. The way things work here, it's almost like in a mysterious way sometimes. I have a little story that I tell now. Not sure. Too much, but, you know, it's come up a few times. And it was while in the airport, there was a line before coming in. Of course, you have to get your passport stamped and everything, and you go past the security guard. And I remember there was maybe four or five people in front of me. Two were, you know, maybe African-American or something like that. Something, uh-huh. You know, they were brothers. And, you know, some were Chinese, and then there was a white guy. And, you know, each one of them got this not so positive response from the security guard. Not negative, but it was almost like pushy, right? So he's like, oh, what do you want? What do you do? And I'm like, huh. And so in my mind, I'm like, oh, when he gets to me, he's going to be rude. But part of me also didn't think that. Because I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm smiling, I'm do-do-do. I dance a lot, so I'm just dancing. I'm like jogging in place dancing. Uh-huh. And so, you know, we're going and the line is progressing. And then when he gets to me, right, I heard what he said to everybody, right? And I think I had to hear what he said. He gets to me and he looks up and he just has this big smile. He's like, welcome home. And I was like, I'm not from here. He's like, I know. And then did the thing and I went in. And I was like, wow, that was crazy. So that was my first experience, really. I'll put a little disclaimer. Tanzania was very different in that time. Now, I make it sound like years ago, but really, it was very different. Almost 2 years ago, it was very, very, very different. Okay. And I cannot stress this enough. And the reason, I can get into the reason why, but I don't know if that goes to the question.
No, please, feel free.
Okay. Now, it's not a positive reason, but we have to look at things from a realistic perspective, because there's people coming with their family. The thing is, people have been coming here more and more, obviously. And the unfortunate thing about that is they're coming with, especially African Americans, we're coming and we're telling the horrors of America, these terror stories, really, about being killed in the street and things like that. And while these stories are valid in many ways, people here don't care. And I say that in a way that kind of hurts, because I've had situation after situation, me personally, or I've had single mothers, a lot of single mothers calling me from immigration offices, crying on the phone, saying, oh, these people want $300. I say, why do they want $300? Well, they say they'll send me back to America where they're killing us. I said, now, why on earth do they know that? And so I started digging and digging into it. I actually started visiting these offices and they tried it on me. I said, I can go anywhere in the world. I said it just like that to this officer. I have recordings of this as well, especially at the Malawi border. Okay. And it doesn't work on me. I know why it doesn't work on me. I look at him. I said, I can go anywhere in the world. What on earth makes you think this is the place? And when you say it like that, they back down immediately. They're like, wait a second. Hold on. This one's not afraid of the West. I said, why would I be? I didn't have a horrible experience in America. I said, I left because there were people having those horrible experiences. I don't like the fact that my brothers and sisters are experiencing that. And that hurts me in a different way. So I feel their pain. But in regards to me, no. I said, I could tell you story after story. The way these people need to be talked to. You say, you want the corrupt places? Go to these offices. Or they're taking advantage of our brothers and sisters for the simple fact that they came here. Walking ATMs and they know the PIN. The PIN is George Floyd. The PIN is Breonna Taylor. When they start mentioning these things, our people get scared, not realizing that we as a collective can go anywhere in Africa, let alone anywhere in the world, and do the same thing we're doing in Tanzania, but without the fear of being taken advantage of. I could get into that off camera with you, but
sure.
I will say that the unfortunate part about this is it's fairly recent. Because I tell you, it used to be such a friendly experience going into the airport and speaking with government officials. That used to be a friendly experience.
Okay.
I remember this personally because I used to do it a lot. I'm getting calls, maybe 2 calls a day for the last week. This is recent, of people who just got here. Hey, Mark. Hey, what's going on with these people at the airport? I had a woman and her two kids, single mother and her two kids came last week. And they called me from the airport. They said, wow, I had the worst experience on the plane. I said, what happened? She described it. I said, oh, yep, that sounds right. Her kids even got on the phone. They're like, Mr. Mark, what's wrong with these people? Imagine children.
Right.
You know, 12 years old can see it. I had to explain to them, well, sometimes this and this and this and that. But to me, that wasn't a good explanation because it was still protecting these people here. And so, you know, I start getting more and more calls of people just having horrible experiences in immigration offices, in government buildings, and people pretending to be police so they can get money out of diaspora. And I tell you that, and it sounds extreme. That's what's going on. I just had two people call me last week and say, well, these guys are saying they're the police. They can't show me a badge. They want us to give them money. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they're not. And then I have to go there and kind of sort of see what's going on. Or if I don't go there, we'll have to get somebody to check in on him. And then even the police are like, yeah, he's not a real police. Okay, so why aren't you arresting him? Because it's not one of their people. The problem right. in Africa is not unity. It's the fact that they don't see us as their people. When you look at it, in 400 years, which African leader, maybe you can help me with this, but which African leader said, bring my people back? Which one?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say a specific one. I just remember, as you will remember, Ghana opened their arms, but they certainly didn't say it. No one has said it the way you're saying it, which is a great point. No one is bring my people home as like my people. Maybe you mean, do you mean that in a country, you know, type of way? Like, do you know, or can you elaborate?
I mean it in a lot of ways. I'm okay. glad you mentioned Ghana, because oddly enough, if you look at the time period, Ghana was right after 400 years. I kid you not, yeah, it was right after 400 years. Yep. That's why I used to say, you know, 500 years, but it was 400. Mm-hmm. In all that time before Ghana, not one said, bring them back, they're my people. Do you know why that is? You don't say it. Okay, so before I say that, I use this example as well when describing the situation to brothers and sisters here. I say, if you have a child that's kidnapped, but the child comes back 30 years later, is that still your child? And all of them say, yes, yes, yes. I say, so if it's 400 years and we come back, are we still African? And a lot of them don't know what to say. Because the issue is there's this idea that we are not African anymore. Somehow we left our African heritage, but we were sold. You don't sell That's people right. you like. You sell people you're jealous of. And you look at the history, you talk to certain people here, and they'll tell you, a lot of Africans who are intact in their mind will tell you, yes, we are some jealous people. We know this about Americans,
right?
Black Americans, we're very jealous, envious people when it comes down. Not all of us, obviously, but obviously, enough of yes. us that it becomes a societal norm. Jealousy, I say that's times 10 over here. I was in a store the other day. Somebody said, you think you're better than me because you're speaking English? And I looked at him and started speaking Swahili. And he continued in English. I said, that's not a sign that you appreciate your own culture. And I walked away. I was with my two young brothers.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Greed. All these, if you believe in the seven deadly sins, they all exist here. And they're running wild. Because at the end of the day, that's what ruined Africa. We were kings and queens who were stolen and sold. That means the people left to run the countries were farmers. And historically speaking, farmers have always been taken advantage of. That's in every country, in every culture, all throughout history. So it didn't change with Africa. When you leave a farmer to run a country in the place of a king, they get taken advantage of, just like farmers now get taken advantage of. That's always the case with farmers. So the entire country gets taken advantage of, and now you have the 54 states or the 54 countries of Africa. That's what we're seeing right now, is that. And it's this ridiculous notion, because at the end of the day, something had to go wrong for us to be sold. Something had to go wrong. We need to find out what that was. People want to say, oh, no, you were stolen. Well, some of us were, but a lot of us weren't.
That's correct. Yeah, I've been doing my...
Because even if we were stolen, people would have quickly said, if my child was stolen, I would go and demand my child back. Now, if they were sold, I wouldn't have any questions.
Right, because obviously, exactly. That is so
that's just my take on it.
That is so well said. You're reminding me of a joke. I don't know if I should say their name or not, because I think they got into some trouble, but you can look it up and Google some of the words I'm going to say. But yes, someone said something similar to what you said about how Africans, how Black folk were, we were in Africa and then we weren't specific. And they said it like, no one came for us. And they just kind of left it at that. They're like, what's up with that? And so
says a lot, though. What's up with that? No one came for us. They never thought we were their people. And I say it like this. You know the saying. I'm sorry to interrupt, but not all skin folk are kinfolk. I'm so far into that belief at this point. I see us all as universal brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But as a people, our people are a people of values, a people of morality, a people of standards, naturally. We shouldn't be told that this is wrong or this is right. We should know. That's my people. Everyone else's brother and sister, auntie and uncle, to some degree. Because I used to say everybody's a brother and sister, and I do believe that to some degree. But at the end of the day, you have to show me and you have to show us with your actions.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, again, people are going to do what they do. I say, people say this, oh, white heads are going to roll. And I don't want to get too deep into this, but I always come at them with, it's going to be a lot of black heads that roll too. And that's just a metaphor for, you know, justice will be served, or, you know, the universal right itself, or the scales will be balanced, or whatever you want to turn it into. It's the same analogy any way you split it. And that's that something's going to occur. It doesn't even have to be physically heads rolling. Again, it's a metaphor for justice be served. They weren't the only ones that did us wrong. That's something we keep on forgetting.
That is, Mark, you have said a lot. A lot of this I've been looking into myself. Hang with us, guys, because we don't mishear. This is not an indictment of the continent, of anybody. There's a lot of love that I'm experiencing here in Africa. If you keep up with Mark Meets Africa, you will see there's a lot of brotherhood and sisterhood and compassion, intelligence, savviness, morality. That's a word Mark used. But I might be paraphrasing you, but I think earlier you said something along the lines of taking the good with the bad. I think that's spiritually why Mark took us down that road, because I've been seeing that my own history thing. I was looking at historical things prior to Africa, and then it's been ramping up in my own private study since being out here and just looking at those things as, you know, some of us were stolen, but part of the history is a lot of us were sold. And here's a question, Mark. How are you seeing that boots on the ground being reconciled in business, in relationships, in sound love and morality to restore that nightmarish past? We're trying to get the details of why were we stolen and why were we sold. That's going to be restored. We're going to figure that out. What are you seeing, boots on the ground, as your community is being built?
A lot of people don't know. A lot of people do not know. Here in schools, they're taught European history, a lot of. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to know. A lot of us don't know our history. And, you know, I'll bring it back a little where you said, you know, there's a lot of brotherhood and sisterhood here. There is. There's a lot of positive, a lot of positive interaction going on here. I don't want to make it sound like it's all negative.
No, because it's not.
The only reason I mentioned the negative is because, like I said earlier, people are coming here with their families. They deserve to know the full truth, and they deserve to know what situations them, their children, their spouses, their grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, and aunties may be put in. It'd be wrong of them not to. I've had people call me and say, I did a consultation with so-and-so, and they didn't tell me this and this and that. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. And I feel like we YouTubers are kind of a part of the problem, because we may not state all the negative things because we don't want to be seen as negative, but we should. We should state it in a way that's constructive. But then the problem comes with a lot of people cannot handle constructive criticism. I say anything that runs from the truth is a creature of the darkness, right?
Wow. Wow.
Because think about it, the truth is this light, this all-seeing, all-loving light, whatever you want to call it, that which can't handle that is obviously not really good. And right. I don't want to use a different term. I'm just going to say not really good. What thing runs from the light? So I don't know, to get into your question, I think there's a lot of good here as well. And then specifically boots on the ground. I don't know how to put it. It's just this, I know it sounds like I'm making it sound like I've had a horrible experience. I haven't.
No, not at all.
Most of the stuff our lives for, our brothers and sisters are running into, I personally have not run into yet. And it's because of a few factors, right? Maybe how you are, how you live, what you do, what you think.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is people are running into these situations. I have to acknowledge that as if I have, because I've seen it. I've showed up to people's sitting in police stations for no reason because somebody's having a pride thing or a power trip. That happens in Africa, just like it happens in America. That's it right. happens everywhere. Right? I can't even just say, oh, well, it's bad because it's Africa. The only reason I mentioned it in Africa is because that's where we're going.
Right.
It that's happens where we are. In Asia. It happens in Jamaica. It happens in wherever you want to go in the world. You're going to see the same thing. It's just the corruption here affects the people. And that's the ridiculous part. At least in the States, you don't have to argue about a bottle of water. The price. Right. It is what it is.
Sure.
You don't have to go and think, well, is this business still going to go south because the person just took off with the money? That may happen, but it's less likely to happen. So there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of building to be done. And it's not to say that, you know, that's a reason not to come. Africa is an unfinished house. You better come here and have an expectation to build or be comfortable living in an unfinished house. And right now, what we're doing is ripping out part of the foundation because it's crumbled and putting in a new one. After that, somebody's got to come in with the walls, the windows, AKA the smaller details of society.
Yeah.
Our main goal with these community centers I'm building is to change or to help the mentality. Because it's not so much a negative mentality, but it's more so a vacuum effect of we don't know. Women are not empowered. Children are not educated in a way that's, you know, conducive of critical thinking. This stuff is real. I don't want to say, oh, Africans are stupid. That's not it at all.
No, not at all.
The issue is something else completely. But I do have to say some of the things going on here affect our diaspora brothers and sisters in a very negative way. We don't deserve this.
I tell people
now, go to Mexico. There's Black people in Mexico. I've been telling a lot of people, just go to Mexico. When they describe how they want to live here and it doesn't sound attainable here, I'm like, sorry, go to Mexico. Or if it does, I say, oh, come on over.
Yeah.
My goal is help the people. You know, people want to have, we deserve relaxation. And these elders coming over here who have to leave every month or every 2 months to, you know, kind of renew their visa or something, that stuff is stressful.
Yeah.
People want to come to Tanzania because they see people going to Tanzania. They don't see the struggle because nobody shows it. Nobody talks about it on camera. So go anywhere. Go anywhere. I kid you not. Be comfortable wherever you go. If you want to go to India, go live your life in India. Because an Indian will go anywhere in the world and they'll be proud of who they are. Mm-hmm. They don't fear. They don't, well, I need a bunch of Indians around me. They prefer it, but they're okay. Chinese go anywhere. Whites go anywhere. Definitely. We know that. And they're usually seen as the king wherever they go. So why can't we as an African people go and be proud wherever we go? Imagine seeing a group of African missionaries in China helping the poorest people. Wow. What an interesting thing that would be.
Right.
It would be newsworthy. It's not to say we do it for the recognition, but we do it to change the status quo. We shouldn't care what people think about us, but as a community globally, we must change the narrative on our people. No more should we walk around and see ourselves as slop of the earth, because that's how everyone sees us. And part of them is right. Not all of it, but a good chunk of it is not completely invalid. things like, oh, you guys don't support one another. Are they lying?
No. We see it's
this stuff is not. I had an issue.
That does exist.
I don't know. It's in Malawi, and the president of Malawi, the people, I don't know what was going on, but the people were having this debate or something. They're like, why did our president offer support to Ukraine? And I'm not too political, so take this with a grain of salt. This is just what I heard. And they're like, he can't even help the country. And they got a statement from that president saying, go help your people first. We don't want your help. And they said he listened to that because it was a white man who told him. And took it as a positive thing.
Very interesting.
This is the mentality you're dealing with. It's a very, very, very hard to wrap your head around mentality coming from the States or anywhere westernized, because we don't see things like that. We have to come and kind of adjust our way of thinking if we are to understand our brothers and sisters in a way that could, build us.
To your point about adjusting, you just touched on it. Maybe can you say just a little bit more about to Black expats, whether you're single parent, kids, grown kids, your point about issues with immigration and things. What would be your encouragement to expats coming, whether it's Tanzania or another African country? Is there anything they can do to not be, in your opinion, to get wrapped up in any sticky situations at immigration or police, as it touches on the stories you just told about some of your friends having those sticky situations? Just in your opinion.
I'd say there's a lot of ways to go around it, and there's a lot of ways to avoid it. I'd say number one, remember your roots. We are a people that could go anywhere in the world. You see our people everywhere for a reason. Be okay with not letting this be the country for you. If it's not Tanzania, it's not Tanzania. Do not tolerate this. The problem with a lot of people and the reason this stuff works on us is because those fear taxes. Well, where are you going to go? That and stuff doesn't work. I sat in an office. That didn't work on me. And I was like, what are you talking about? There's a whole continent. And they were like, okay, quickly stamp it.
Gotcha. It's sorry, I apologize for interrupting. I apologize. You're saying be okay. Sorry, guys. Also, there's just a mild lag where we're doing our thing on Zoom. Bear with me. Part of what you're saying, and then please continue, is have this, hold your head up high, because yes, you have challenges. I had challenges that you didn't experience, and that's great because I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I do have some experiences, but you can go back to the States, or you can go to another country. It sounds like you're saying, because I was a little long-winded, don't be afraid to go anywhere, be it return to your home country, depending on, in this case, we're talking about Americans for a moment. Don't allow yourself to be scared to go back to the States. Be excited about the idea, or know that you can go anywhere in Africa. It doesn't have to be Rwanda. It doesn't have to be, in this case, Tanzania. Is that some of what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. And even because I also have to say the reason people are afraid, some of them come with little finances, so they can't just get another ticket. They didn't plan on leaving. But even still, do not accept that behavior. The moment they push, you push back. Even if you're only bluffing, oh, I can go back. That's fine. And when you show them that it's not that big of a deal to be in their country, that's when you get the respect you deserve. The moment you start piddle-paddling and oh, well, you know, what can we do? What can we do now? That's they're typing in your ATM pin right now. You are an ATM with legs to them. Understand that they don't care. Not all of them, but a lot of them do not care.
Gotcha.
Understand that. And stop telling them our entire story in America.
That's what it was.
It's getting us. I was in Zanzibar. I go to Zanzibar a lot, the little island off the coast of Tanzania. And I was in Zanzibar and a taxi driver, maybe he was drunk or something. He's like, oh, you should get in my car. I said, no, thank you. I was riding my bike. I had my cat on my back and I was riding my bike. Well, if you don't get in, you know, they're killing you in America. He was speaking sporadically because he was drunk. But what he said to me was, there were enough passengers that look like you, that come from where you come from, that got in and told me all their stories. And now I'm making fun of them. That's what I heard. And I turned to him, I said, that's not something to joke about. There are people who are truly traumatized from these sorts of experiences. And I told them like that and I drove away. But that let me know there's people doing it there. Stop doing it. Tell the people who seem like they're caring. Don't tell every driver. These drivers go and talk to their friend. Their friend talks to their friend. People don't realize in Africa, word of mouth spreads quickly. They talk it up. And by the end of the day, your entire business, your government office, your local one is already formulating a plan to stop you in the middle of the night while you're walking down the street to frisk you down for money because they know you don't want to leave. Be so proud of where you come from, even if it's America.
You're saying loose lips.
You are an African American.
I hear you saying loose lips sink ships. I think that's what I was getting at when I was like, encourage the fellow expats, especially our fellow Black brothers and sisters. It's okay, you know, as a fellow, you know, African American yourself, Black man, obviously you and I, we are not, trying to dilute or pretend we haven't, either we or our communities back home haven't experienced trauma. We are not saying that. We are saying loose lips sink ships. We are talking too much in immigration, in the airport, on the plane, wherever else. And we're radiating fear. You're saying some of us, not all, some people are radiating fear and, and attracting people, some of the locals and some of the government here who are trying to get by, but we're making ourselves available for sticky situations and corrupt situations. Is that it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and if I can add a little more.
Go ahead.
That's also to do not tolerate being overcharged. I've argued over 50 shillings here. That's the equivalent of 0.09 cents. That's less than a penny, I believe.
Yep.
It's principle. Stand on principle. If you don't, then you won't stand on any. No, you're going to get pushed over here. Some people say, oh, well, you know, I'm being overcharged. That's okay. That's just more money in their pocket. No, you look like a fool. And that's what it is, because now they remember that, oh, this person's somebody I can overcharge, and everybody likes them. There are people here who can't afford that. There's people from Black America who cannot afford that. You'd be surprised what some of these African Americans are doing over here to get by. And I don't even want to get into that on camera right now, because that needs a solution in and of itself. People are coming over here with hope in their heart. I had a woman sell her whole house, came over here with her son, and she left after 6 months, living on her daughter's couch now. Wow. She said, why did I come? She felt this strong pull to go. Mm-hmm. I say, if you come here, you better be ready to build, and you better be ready to tolerate all the negativity. You have to take it in yourself and use it, transmutate it into fuel.
Mm-hmm.
These negative situations happen. Don't get upset and leave. Turn that into, wow, I really want to see that change, because the next person's going to experience it. And if you are going to leave, you know, just, you don't have to go to America. You have an entire world full of places. You have a world full of places. I went to Malawi because I heard nothing about Malawi. All of a sudden, there's people messaging me saying, I've always wanted to go to Malawi. Or, oh, can you tell me more about Malawi? I want to go to Malawi. I say, no, go explore. Go explore. It's a little different if you have a family, yes, but even still, do your research, explore. You don't have to go. People see it like the only options are America, Tanzania, Kenya, Ghana, and the Gambia. I'm like, what? In South Africa and Rwanda. What happened to everything in between?
Right.
When I went to Tanzania, it wasn't a popular place people were going.
Okay.
Somebody brought that to my attention. They're like, well, you know, back then it wasn't that popular. People were coming, but not like they are now.
In droves, I've heard, yeah.
Better job. That's why soon I'm going to start traveling around more.
Great.
Because I don't want to do my brothers and sisters a disservice. They must see what's here. And if we have to, we'll get together as a collective and decide on where to go together. So that when we get our boots on the ground, all as a group, then we won't be taken advantage of because we'll be as a group, but we need to get together. Group economics, group social skills, group meetings, group everything has to be a group because this individualistic approach to coming to Africa, it works for some, it worked for me, but it doesn't work for a lot of people.
Right.
It's not okay. People are lonely here. People are lonely. I'm just saying, kids are bored, nothing to do for them, and they don't have any, some of them don't have a business idea in mind, so they just kind of live here, and they're just doing whatever. Some people go to the water park every day. There's only one. It's not all that special, but that's what they do every day, because at the end of the day, they're bored. Why don't we build something? People have been coming here for like 10 years now in various numbers, but you know.
Yeah.
What have we built? What on earth have we built here? What do we have to show for our time here? Nothing. What about Kenya? Nothing or very little. What about Ghana? I don't know, not much, but there's more in Ghana. What have we shown? We need to start putting ourselves in a position to do for each other instead of always going up to someone else for help. Oh, well, you know, we'll just go live next to these Arabic people or these Indian neighborhoods and never see your neighbor, never talk to the locals, never do anything, don't want to learn the language. That's the kind of stuff that puts us as, no, we're just, I'm sorry, I can't even put words to it. We're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot here, a chance for a new beginning, and we kind of sort of do the same thing that didn't work over there. It's not going to work over here.
How are you, let's get into that. That's great, Mark. Because you're speaking on things I've seen challenging me in some areas where I'm like, let me, you know, challenge and develop. Because, like, for anyone who's listening, before I get into this question, there's a lot of fire in Mark. We will offer that wherever you go, take your time to detox. Because I don't remember what the videos look like or if you even put them up, but I know you took your time to detox and or settle. No one's saying, "Are you better hurry up and start doing so, like you got, you know, it's maybe it's not an everlasting vacation, but do you get your bearings and things like that?" And part of that can be going to dinner with people, going to the water park, talking to the locals, learning the language. My family's getting into that now because there's Kenya Rondon and French here and things like that. Maybe a little Swahili. Get settled. And then get involved in the community. Because I love how you said you're trying to do, how did you say it? You're failing because you're trying to do what you did back where you're from, but you weren't doing a lot there. I had to paraphrase. I didn't say it exactly how you said it. So with that, be encouraged to settle wherever you go. And then if you want to contribute to something business-wise, begin the gradual process of doing that so that you are not bored, so that you are not idle, and so that you are not stagnant, and you can live out your creativity. Mark, can you begin to talk about the last video I saw? I got halfway through it. You're building a school in Tanzania. That was the last video you put up as of this recording, guys. Can you speak to just what has inspired you to build schools and business centers and anything else you're at liberty to talk about? Let's go back to your business acumen and creativity.
Well, I will say we've got 6 projects going on. That's one that we've announced. 2 we haven't announced. 2 we're going to announce pretty soon. And the other 3 have to stay behind the scenes for a little bit of time. The other 3 that would make it 9, we have some project proposals that just went over to South Africa. And we're waiting to hear back on those. Schools are super profitable over here. They're extremely necessary schools. You see them on every street. Just like you'll see a barbershop next to a barbershop next to a barbershop across the street from a barbershop. Mm-hmm. You'll see a French fry place next to a French fry place next to a French fry place across a French fry place.
McDonald's everywhere. You'll see
a saloon next to a saloon. Yeah, and that's how the business works here. They just repeat businesses on the same street all throughout Tanzania. And so I say schools need to be done. Schools need to be revamped. They need to be done very well because that's where the money is as well. Schools are profitable. People don't realize schools are profitable. The school that you saw in the video is a part of a bigger thing. And it's basically like a merge. Merge is my company over here.
Okay.
And we're basically trying to, you know, put diaspora and Tanzanians together. So we're trying to, the main thing is community centers. a place for us to gather. We have nowhere to gather here. And it sounds crazy. We have nowhere to gather. When we want to get together, we usually go to a restaurant owned by somebody else. Or we'll go to a hotel owned by someone else. Or we'll rent out a really expensive space, overpriced, owned by someone else. We don't have an official gathering place for diaspora to freely sit and talk without worry about who's going to come and kick us out or, you know, pay. No, we need a free place. Community parks, community centers, community outreach programs, easy ways for us to access the people in a safe environment. So that's what I'm building here. We want to put a lot of them down. We have plans to build in Mwanza and a few different cities here, and we're kind of underway with them. I can't say everything right, but for now, that school you saw is a part of the larger scheme. It's just one school out of a few more to come in this this project, really, the Merge Community Development Project. And essentially, again, schools are profit, and they're the next step towards changing the mentality. And not to say changing the mentality as if the one here is wrong, but into a more complete way, because there's a lot of room for addition. You know, we have to realize we come with culture, they come with culture. We got to meet in the middle, because we're both equally obligated to this land here, right? If you really look back, historically speaking, we are here. We are the people of here, the people of Africa, if you want to call it that. So we have to kind of, like you said earlier, hold our heads up and realize that we're not strangers in a land that never belonged to us. We're just returning home. And when we do things here, we make ourselves more admirable, you know?
Of course.
Like a football player that's African, right? If he does really well, they're proud to have him. If not, well, no, he's in that country, you know, they'll denounce it. So we do the same thing. We make it so that we're so good at what we do as a people. We do business, we do X, Y, and Z, we do work, whatever we do, we bring knowledge, we bring new information, so much so to the point where people are proud to have us. They're proud to say, yeah, that's our people. We have to make ourselves attractive.
Gotcha.
You know, some people have this idea, well, why doesn't the government just give us land? Because not everyone wants to do anything here.
Right.
Right. It's we have to make ourselves very attractive. That's how government thinks. That's how business works. And we have to show, oh, look what we're doing. Okay, yeah, we kind of want more of that. Let's invite them over. If we're coming over here with $1,000 in the bank and no way to survive, that's a liability. That's why we can't just get land. No. Come on now, we got to follow the process. The Chinese do it, the whites do it, the Indians do it. Why should we get special treatment? Because they don't see us as the same people. We have to kind of ease into that. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality. I don't care what you feel, who you think about, that's the reality. If you go against reality, you're almost crazy.
Yeah, no, yes. You know that expression, insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's basically what I hear you outlining. Can you speak to, in your opinion, can you start a school about anything? Can it be a quote unquote general school? Can it be a specific a trade school, film school, writing school, music school, it'll be valuable there. Is that your experience?
Yeah. If I said that skills are so hard to come by here, it would sound bad. But when you get here and on the ground, you see that simple things like how to bake a cake, like in a recipe that's not dry or something like that, that small information that may be common sense to us is like game changing here. I've seen it. I've done it myself. I've seen diaspora do it, where it'll be the smallest thing and it'll be like, wait a second, that's just common knowledge to me. That's our specialty here. What was unattainable for us in America with the, you know, well, we got to kind of sort of figure out how to market ourselves and we got to kind of go higher and do more. No, over here, the bar is set so low that if you come over here with just your basic knowledge, you'll have more than enough. You have a business idea here. You have a Even if you see a business idea, a barbershop, you go into a barbershop and say, wow, this can be improved. That's enough. That is literally enough. That's how far back the bar is set here. You're okay. Come over here. You don't need special skills. You really don't. And that sounds kind of harsh. You don't. And we typically, our people don't have it. So perfect match. But you got to want to do something.
That's beautiful. Okay. So this is back to your point about personal, or I called it personal development. And I'm merging that with what I said about holding your head up high, And definitely want to speak to the Black folks for just a minute, but I think this translates to everybody. But to our Black brothers and sisters who are interested in traveling abroad and who are interested in returning back to Africa, we really need to, I'm feeling encouraged, Mark, and I hope others are encouraged to really, be precious with our personality, with our creativity, with the things we learned in the West, and we'd like to try something new in Africa or abroad, because to your point, it most likely isn't here. There are things I'm seeing that aren't here in Rwanda either. And I've heard a lot of the same sentiment that, no, the little bit that you learned in the West, they'd welcome it here. And they want to, you know, business centers and things like that. In fact, can you speak to, even if it's one thing, what's one positive way that you and your team and your business partners, what's a positive effect they had on you when you had the idea to create Merge in Tanzania? How did that go?
It's been well received. We've been offered land. No, we've been given land in many, many neighborhoods to do this. They say, wow, we didn't think about that. I say, great. That means we can do it. That's just one way. I've been given acreage, 68 acres in Wanza on the lake, Lake Victoria. Wow. I've been given, you know, 70 acres in Morogoro. I've been given, you know, plots in these neighborhoods.
Yeah.
All of this is, you know, it's just like, wow, it is. Yeah, people want to see a change. At the end of the day, people want to see a change. And all you have to do is get them excited about it. You tell them, hey, you know, we just did a thing. I just signed a contract. I didn't show on camera yet. That video will be out another day, maybe next week. And we just signed a contract for one of these new centers we want to build. You know, it's already pretty much built, so we'll turn it into like a community gathering, park area, free movies, and a place for the kids to play, because that doesn't exist here. In the States, it's common sense, a public park for free, right. A community recreational center for free. That stuff costs money here. For children to play on equipment. Where's your money, kid? Oh, you don't have it? Guess what? You don't get to play. There's no such thing as free in Africa. Things are more expensive in Africa sometimes. Cars are more expensive here.
Yeah.
Electronics are more expensive here. People don't realize that. You might have cheaper food and things like that, cheaper rent, but the things you want that are any reminiscence of the West, guess what? Pay more here. Expect to pay more. But this stuff, basic needs like a place to gather as a community, that stuff should be free. And we should be able to make it replicable. We should be able to make it sustainable. We should be able to make it profitable. And that's what I'm trying to do right now is, you know, give free services and paid services in a way that one, builds our business spirit, and two, builds our community. Because again, I'm tired of walking down the street and seeing little kids here just playing with wheels and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you know, they get into trouble when they have nothing to do. Same with little African-American kids.
That's right.
And over here, they're doing nothing. I had a mama tell me, you know, she was the diaspora. She said she can't stand seeing her son just rot away on the couch because there's nothing to do. Oh, we got to change that. It's time. You know, it's time. We got to come together. But the problem, I think, is I want to keep saying problems, but they're a part of the solution. And it's that people don't like getting together. They want something to do together, but when it comes down to getting together to do it, they don't. They want it to be built for them, and then they enjoy the benefits. That's what I'm seeing.
Go ahead, sorry.
No. I think we were going to say the same thing.
Nothing new. Yeah. And I appreciate you talking about the problems. Something my dad says that I think you'd agree with is like when you complain, it means you care about change, like complain in a good way, you know, like the complaints you're making here. Or if, say, you have a job and you're not being paid what you're worth, if you complain about that, that's good because you're looking for innovation. The more money you make, the better work you can do. The more people, more business centers you erect, the more locals in Rwanda or Tanzania or elsewhere you meet with, the more ideas start flourishing for parks, for schools, for you know, computer programs and things like that. Can we, Mark, this is great. I only got a few more questions and I'll let you go because if y'all are listening, this is a busy brother. right here, but you, I just feel really blessed to be hearing these things from you. They're really encouraging me to continue to sit down, write out my dreams, continue to meet the people that I'm meeting here in Rhonda, and see how I can be a blessing. Just listening to how you're being a blessing. Two things. What are some positives that you are seeing, whether you have anything to do with it or you're seeing other diaspora being a blessing to Tanzania or Africa at large? What positives are you seeing maybe in the last few months?
Positives in regards to the culture here or what we're doing specifically or what we cause that's positive?
Both. Why not both?
Okay. I'll go into what I see here that's positive. Yeah. Again, the people, the mentality is more human. You know, that's just a given, right? There's a more human way of thinking here. The bar for doing things is a bit low. That's a positive. It's a negative in some ways, but it's mainly a positive for us. This is hard. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase the answer to this question.
No,
that's some positive. I see some people doing things. I see a lot of people now trying to start parks.
That's great. I love parks myself. Yeah, that's needed.
I think I'm trying to partner with as many people as I can now, because even diaspora, sometimes diaspora don't like to partner with diaspora, because, you know, it's a phenomenon you see in our culture where we typically want to be in charge of something. So I use the example now. I use the analogy now that I'd rather make 10% of a $1 million company than 100% of a company that's not worth any money, because I'm doing it myself.
Yeah.
But this is, I'm trying to go in part. I'm not trying to be a part of that issue. So I'm partnering with the people that are trying to do parks, because I'm doing a community center, right? So if we have a community center with a park on it, bam, we have an amazing thing. And as many projects as we can combine, we're going to. So there's people trying to do things here. It's just, you know, a matter of time. That's all. Things are moving. They really are. And a lot of it's off camera, even for myself. A lot of it is off camera. I can't even say most of what I'm doing. The other 8 projects. No, and things are moving along, and I want people to know there's hope here.
Yes, we there see is.
People are coming. We want people to be comfortable. If people say we're the pioneers, I used to say, well, you know, it is what it is, and I'm still going to say it is what it is. But now, taking that term seriously, our job is to make it easier for the next people coming, whether we stay here or not. There's a mission in every African country, really. And then in Mexico, Brazil, and China, and the Philippines, and wherever we are, I want to go there. Yes. And I'm sure a lot of other people do, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we are.
No, I you remind me of a friend I made on a film set once when I told him I was coming out here. He said something that really encouraged me. He was like, I was telling him how I was adjusting and things like that. And he was like, cool, man, we'll pay attention, man, for whenever I get out there. Like, he was already thinking about it of like, you know, he doesn't know when he'll be out here or you know, when things will change. But he had this, he didn't say it in a flippant way. At least that's not how I interpreted it. It really sounded, he's a very hungry artist and things like that. And he's always looking to be of service to somebody else. And it really sounded like he was like, you know, whether it's him or others, it's like, pay attention, because you're going to be a blessing to somebody else. What's your favorite, whether it's Tanzania or otherwise, what's your favorite touchstone of culture in general, Mark, be it food, style, music? Do you have any favorite aspects of culture?
Yeah, I'll say it's the fact of being in a place. That's it. Take it all, the good, the bad. You have to accept it. You can't go through life with only positive, and you can't go through life with only negative. So you give and take here and there. But I'd say just the fact that it's different, right? Mm-hmm. But it feels familiar in certain ways. So I'll leave it at that. I hope that wasn't too ambiguous.
No, that's okay. It's all of it. Gotcha. And I know, as you said earlier, it's also the people are also very important to you. Are you able to speak to any end of 2022 goals you have for merch?
By the end of 2022, I want to have an opportunity for diaspora where they can easily click on a website link before they come here, talk to somebody on the phone, a whole call center and say, well, you know, what's Tanzania have to offer? Well, this and this and this. What about a job? They'll have that option. What about a business idea? Well, we'll be here with you. They get off the plane. They get inside of the airport. We come pick them up. We have a place for them to stay. We have a community center for them to go to throughout the day to meet other diaspora and locals in a safe environment that is structured. We have things that they're familiar with and things that they're not familiar with, a place for them to learn the language, a tour guide, a translator, whatever they need, all of it's available, and somebody to be there with them in business, a community lawyer or two, and just an overall experience that's not unpleasant. Basically, we want to be there with them every step of the way because people get here and they're alone. You don't have a safety net here.
If you had maybe you do already, what would you say is Merge's mission statement?
It's generally just to unite our people. And however you translate that is your own definition. That's all. What do you see as unity? Is it business unity? Is it social construct? Is it, you know, combining with the locals? That's unity. And we want to help you with your definition of unity for our overall unity. It's all it is. Empower, opportunity, unity.
Love it. Well, Mark, this has been this is great. We'll talk more off mic. And I got you on WhatsApp now, so we'll be talking more. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. This last thing here, where can people follow you or learn more about you and what you're doing in Merge? Put your socials out there, YouTube, everything.
Okay. Well, the YouTube is Mark Meets Africa. We have a website. It's africanmerge.com. And it should be up. It's still kind of got a lot of blank spaces in terms of things that are coming soon. We got a lot of things coming. Africanmerge.com and Mark Meets Africa. I say Mark Meets Africa, you'll probably get a lot of good information from there. If you go back in the older videos and check it out, you'll see what we're all about over here. That's about it. I guess I have Instagram. I don't use it too much besides messages. It's just Mark Meets Africa, and there's an underscore everything. So @ Mark Meets Africa.
I'll make sure everybody gets all of it. That's it? No, that's cool. Okay. No, that's perfect. Guys, go subscribe to Mark Meets Africa on YouTube. I follow you on Instagram myself. It is always nice to see updates, but I love your YouTube because that's where all of the development, all the advancements are coming. Guys, I've seen this dude interview somebody on the back of a motorcycle. He's that creative and that willing to share stories and engage with people. He'll display, you know, tours of property from the school to property where he hasn't even broke ground just yet, but like he's putting deals together. He's signing paperwork. He's talking with governance or fellow business people, interviewing his own team members and things like that. It just really is invaluable to just see the step-by-step of what you're building. I love that you're all about, currently it sounds like Merge is definitely about building community centers for diaspora and locals to meet together, to create business. You're also building schools and you have so much more that you're doing. And you're taking the good with the bad. And it sounds like, here's this last one. Tanzania's had a pretty amazing impact on you. As we close, can you speak to any additional impact Tanzania's had on you as a man?
Wow, where do I start? Where do I start with that one? I'd say it has definitely awakened a sense of confidence. And I thought I was pretty confident in the States. I could talk to anybody, I can go anywhere, I can do anything, but that wasn't necessarily confidence. After coming here, you kind of sort of awaken to who you are. Not so much who you are specifically, but who you are as a people. And when you get around a bunch of people that look like you and kind of sort of do things that you do without knowing it, you kind of see things differently, especially with the bar being so low over here. And you say, well, you know what? In the States, I would do this business and this one and this one and this one. But over here, I can do this, 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 and this. That translates directly over to there. I could probably do a school in the States now, right? I say it's empowered me in a way that it's pretty hard to explain, but in a way, it's empowered me. So I'm definitely grateful for that. I'd say Tanzania is a very, I think Tanzania has changed me in a way that I can't explain just yet, but I'm definitely happy about.
No, that's great. No, you did describe the confidence. It sounds like, guys, you want to level up in your confidence, become who you really are. Come to Tanzania, come to Africa. Because because you got gifts. It sounds like Africa, if you study, give yourself a chance before coming here. And then when you come here, it sounds like Africa just might amplify you. It kind of reminds me of in Captain America, the first Avenger. I don't know if you saw that or are a fan, but the doctor told Steve Rogers, you know, the super soldier serum, it amplifies what's already in you. If you're good, it makes you more good. If you're evil, it makes you more evil. And it sounds like Africa is definitely an amplifier. And I love that, you know, we got to be confident, especially us as Black folk. And guys, I hope you've enjoyed this. If you've taken anything from it, I hope you took away the last thing Mark said. Get ready for your confidence and your self-esteem to go up interpersonally, creatively, business-wise, because it sounds like, and it looks like, even from my own experience, there's a lot here that the people are just waiting for. It's like when you come, you're coming home, it sounds like, to make it better than what it already is. And I just think that's a blessing. It's a blessing and a joy to watch what you're doing, Mark. Thank you again for sitting down to talk to me. Everyone, thank you for listening to this. Go subscribe to Mark Meets Africa on YouTube. Follow him. All of his information will be in the show notes and the episode description. And until next time, guys, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again. See ya. Thank you guys for tuning in to Josiah's Voice, the podcast. Subscribe on all listening platforms. And you can keep up with the show on social media by following at Josiah's Voice Pod on all social media. And keep up with the show on the blog. Subscribe at the blog at www.josiahsvoicepodcast.wordpress.com for all the show notes for each and every episode. And if you like my theme music, the song is called Emotion. It's by Mateo. Subscribe to him on iTunes and Spotify. Thanks, guys.